I'm speaking today with State Representative Dora Olivo, who is the representative for House District 27 in Fort Bend County. Representative Olivo, you know, when you look back on this most recent legislative session, what would you say were the most important things that came up and the most important things that you did during that session?
A lot of important issues came up this session. And I think one of the most serious ones was a voter ID issue. And that has to do with making it more, burdensome for people in the voting process. My mom's 86, and my dad just passed away, and they've always voted. And I can remember, my mother doesn't drive a car, doesn't have any ID, and she, like a lot of other seniors, would have been impacted, plus a lot of other people. That was a major issue. Thank God it didn't go through. And there was another major issue that was very important, that there were people trying to make changes in the 10% rule. You know, and that's been a very good rule to give more students an opportunity to go to good universities. You know, and we have good universities in Texas, but some get more money from the state, whatever, than others. That's an important issue. Now, in terms of the work that I do, I again worked on trying to make changes in how children are measured, their capabilities are measured. I've been working on legislation to use multiple indicators to measure students versus using just one single test for the past several sessions. And I've been able to pass it out of the House. I haven't been able to get it through the Senate. But that's one thing about this business, that you try and you keep on trying. And there's ways to just keep doing it. And so that's a very, in fact, I was just talking to some students this morning at one of the schools. And I mentioned the tox test, and they all know about it. And they all talk about the excessive practice into the test. You know, but those were some issues, plus of other. I mean, a major issue that came up, not in the during the in the session per se, but in community, is the landfill issue. We have a landfill here that we're fighting, that I'm fighting with the people. That's a Blue Ridge landfill. The company has requested an extension for 40 more years. That landfill, they're requesting that it go up to a height of 170 feet. That's a 17-story building. And it's located in an area that usually sometimes landfills are located, areas of least resistance, that's what they call these areas. Because there's a lot of neighborhoods, people that have bought their American dream, their home, and people that have good jobs, but are not rolling in money to where they can fight an effort for this. And we're fighting that because people say, wait a minute, you know, they're concerned about health issues. They're concerned, of course, about the property of the value of their properties going down. So we formed an organization called Cabral, the Coalition Against the Expansion of the Blue Ridge Landfill. And that's been an issue that I've been working on. With the community, we built an organization because I told them, I said, there's no way my small office can handle all of this. Let's form an organization and get more volunteers involved. And we've done that, and we're doing that, and we're fighting that issue. Plus, another issue that came up, and this is some local issues that come up, because that happens, you know. When you go to Austin, it's not just about staying over there and working over there. People call. People have problems, and then we deal with those. Along with the legislation, we try to pass and we try to get through. And there was another issue on education. And in one of the districts where the board was trying to make a decision to move sixth grade students to the first or fifth grade elementary schools. So that's an issue we're still working on. There's just so many issues out there that we're working on, and I've been involved for 33 years in community, and started under Willie Velasquez way back in 75, started organizing, getting people involved in the political process in a more effective way. And then I joined with the IF organizations, also organizing and dealing with issues that impact families. So I've been in this work for many years now.
Let me ask you a question regarding that Blue Ridge landfill you're talking about. If that's not, strictly speaking, a legislative issue, it's something that didn't come up in the session, and it's not something perhaps that the state legislature would have jurisdiction over, what can you, as a state representative, do about it? How do you
involve yourself? The state has a lot to do with it. We have the TCEQ, the Environmental Commission, okay, that monitors landfills. And in fact, at this last session, I also, one of the environmental organizations brought me some legislation to try to get a process where we can review landfills. You know, some landfills are there for 100 years, and there is no process of review. Now, we brought that bill. We couldn't get it out of the committee because the chair of the environmental committee didn't let it through.
That's Representative Bonin, I believe.
He's the chair for that committee. But we found a bill because we put it on, tried to attach it to another bill. It's an amendment. And couldn't get it through. We got 56 votes, but we tried. And there were some people supporting it, but in Austin, people vote different. People have different agendas, you know, and so this bill didn't go through. But we have to try again because you can imagine, you have a landfill for 100 years or 40 years, and there's no real process of review during that time. That makes it very difficult for citizens to complain. Now there is a complaint process, but it's not easy to make things happen. Now, I've been involved in other landfill issues. When I got in office at the landfill in Little Mexico, where the people organized, and they fought that landfill, and I wasn't in office yet at that time, but they were fighting other battles. And the county was trying to cover the pit that was left after the landfill was closed with tire chips. And the people said, we don't want that. Those are dangerous. And there was a bill going through, so I put an amendment exempt in Fort Bend County. That didn't go through either. So like I said, I've been in the process. I've worked with TCEQ, that's environmental agency. And one thing I found when I worked with the Little Mexico landfill is the lack of monitoring. And that the people aren't watchful to see what's happening, you know. And you've got to make this state agencies accountable too. And they've got some good people working there, good people running the agency, but you constantly have to kind of keep monitoring and your eye over things, you know, in terms of the work we do as legislators. It's not just about going to Austin and passing or killing bills. It's about dealing with the issues that impact families. And sometimes we pass legislation. How is it impacting schools? How is it impacting a family? How does it impact the children? Those are all things that come up.
Obviously, a big issue that came up in the last session was the status of House Speaker Tom Craddock. Now you have opposed Mr. Craddock as Speaker in the past, and just for the record, do you intend to oppose his speakership going forward?
Oh yes.
Okay. So, what would you say? What would you say are the effects of having him as Speaker? How has his speakership been damaging to what people like you were trying to do in the House?
Very partisan. Go ahead. It's been very partisan. And this is a democracy. And I think that it's very important, you know, the position he took, that he was the one, only one that could make a decision, isn't right.
So it's not just that he's a Republican, it's that he, you know, was exerting absolute power.
Exactly. You know, in this business, you know, one of the things that Speaker Laney was very fair, and then he was an inclusive person, and he gave Republicans opportunity to be in good positions as chairs of committees and so it was. I mean, there's just a history there. All you have to do is look at who's where and who was where with both Craddock and Laney as an example, because Laney has been the only speaker that I was under, but now Craddock, okay. And but no, clearly, I mean, the positions that he took were just not right for any state, for this country. It just seemed to me un-American.
Well, if you look forward to the next session, what do you see, what do you foresee if Craddock is the speaker, and what do you see if he's not?
Well, you have to do what you have to do. You always have to go in there with the attitude of working. Whoever said, that's what you have to do. Because if you always stay on opposite sides, and you can't do anything. You always, let me just give you an example. This session, there was a House Bill 3232. And that particular legislation was about issue of property rights. Back here, a local bill here for Missouri City was very important for that area, plus some areas in Houston. And so the speaker was very much in favor of that bill, you know. And so that helped us a lot to be able to get the legislation through in the House. And then also there was, and just as an example right now, I have a state school in my district, the Richmond State School, and I've been very involved with issues for the mentally retarded, you know, ever since I've been in office, and I'm concerned about community, about state schools. And I have just been appointed by the speaker to be on the select committee that's going to be looking at state schools and community homes. I have also been appointed by the speaker to be on the standing committee for education for the National Conference of State Legislators. And this is the second time that I serve in that position, second time. And then I'm on two really good committees, public health and public education, that are two major issues, you know, for people in our state and in the country for that matter. And so this is a speaker that I'm still willing to say that, look, there have been some things that have been very partisan, and to not allow the rest of us to make a decision as who we want to represent us as a speaker, that's a major position. And there's something wrong with that. There were people on both sides of the aisle during the session that were complaining about what was happening and trying to do some things about what was happening.
One issue that came up in the last session had to do with stem cell research. You voted against the stem cell research bills that came up, and have taken some criticism for it. Can you explain your position on that?
Well, you know, I think people have made it seem that I don't support some kind of stem cell research. I supported stem cell research. A lot of good research has come out of that. A lot of good cures for different illnesses. Blood cord stem cell research, I support that too. Life is very sacred to me. My upbringing, I'm born of one of eight children. And I believe that life begins at conception, that's a life. And I don't believe we should be using government funds, you know, for that. I don't believe in stem cell research on embryos, because that is the beginning of life. And I, you know, I can separate myself from my faith. I can, it's a part of me. I can separate, say, well, you know, there's a God, but then there's me over here. You know, that's not, you know, to me, I'm that whole person, you know, and that's the way I look at this issue.
Okay. There had been some rumors earlier last year that you had been thinking about not running again this year. What made you decide to run for re-election?
Well, actually, what brought my decision not to run, because I had told some people, was my father passed away, but it wasn't until after the session that I made a decision not to run. And my mother's 86, and all those things that were happening. It's a very different year for me. I love my father, 88 years old. He was a man full of love. You take it pretty hard. I don't know if you've ever lost a parent, but it's not, I don't care what age they are, it's not easy. But I looked for somebody, and I told some people I'm not running, but then they said, well, we need to find somebody. And I looked for somebody, spent some time looking, couldn't find anybody. So when I looked around and I said, well, is this the only other person that's running? This is a pretty democratic district on the whole. But you never take people for granted. So I've got all this good experience to share. I've been active for 33 years in community, and people were calling me saying, Dora, people knew who was running again. They said, Dora, please run. And when I started telling people that I was thinking of running again, they were pretty happy. Supporters of mine that know of my work, that know of the work that I've done all these years, and my concern for the people, and the fact that I've worked very hard as a legislator. And so when I told them I was thinking of running again, people were very pretty happy. When I made my final decision, with my husband's blessing, I've been married 38 years, been active for 33. And when I asked my husband, I said, with your blessing, I want to run. He said, how can I not help you? You've always been there for me. And with that, and then the support of the people that are willing to support me, I made a decision to run again and continue offering. I mean, I've been working on education issues primarily because that's where my heart is. But then I work on the issues that the people bring to me. In this business, you don't decide everything you want to do because people bring you issues, you know, and you work on that and work very hard on constituent work. You know, but I want to continue working and helping to to make this a better state, a better community.
What would you say is your biggest piece of unfinished business as a legislator?
To be this issue on testing, and we already got rid of testing in high school, the way we were doing it, if we're not going through in the course exams. That's a major issue, because I talk to children, I talk to teachers, I talk to principals, I talk to parents, and other people that have something to do with this. And that's an issue that we need to pay attention to. We just can't give it up. You know, when I was doing research, when this legislation was brought to me by Al Coffin, who used to run MALDEV, he was looking for a legislator to take this legislation through. And this was after we passed the law in 99. And he said, y'all made the wrong decision. So he and Dr. Angela Valenzuela from UT and Dr. Linda McNeil from Rice University, they educated me on why it wasn't right to have just one test to measure children. And along the years, you know, every year that I've tried to push this legislation, we've passed it out of the House, haven't been able to get it through the Senate. But the stories that you hear, and the story of teachers being told, third grade teachers being told, get the bags ready in case the kids vomit because of the stress. A second grader telling their grandmother, will I pass the test next year? Third grade, second grader. And this grandmother happened to be Carter Castile, Republican, who got defeated, you know. And when I was going by her desk to say, Carter, you know, I need support on this bill. Will you sign on as a co-author? And she told me the story, said, give me that. Let me sign up. Okay. And I've been trying to get people to sign up as co-authors, joint authors. And I had some Republicans that signed on. You know, and the one even that signed on as a joint author, Ray Allen, is not in office anymore, but he signed on as a joint author. Because his granddaughter had trouble taking tests. She's smart, but had trouble taking tests. There's a lot of stories there. And to me, it's those human stories that make you decide, hey, this is the reason we're doing this. Now, some people don't listen to the stories, but a lot of people are. And I think that the voices, I was just at a classroom this morning talking to some children, and when I mentioned the tags, they all wanted to say something about it. And one little girl even came up, little fifth grader, she said, I just came from Minnesota, and we didn't do that over there. You know, all that practice that they're doing. You call schools right now, what are they doing? Benchmark testing, that's practicing. Get your learning how to take tests, okay? And then let me tell you, teachers are working really hard, but there's pressure. Principals and teachers, and children, and parents.
You have a primary opponent in March. When people go to the polls on March 4th to vote, why should they vote for you in the primary?
I want to continue using all of me, all the skills I've learned along the way, all the experience I've learned, to continue working on issues important to the people. I've mentioned some issues I'm working on, but I'm very accessible and open to people coming in with their ideas about, you know, legislation or about killing bills. You know, being in Austin is not just about passing laws, it's also about killing legislation. And it's about passing legislation that is really going to have an impact, a positive impact on families and our communities. But I have all that to offer, and I'm willing to give it. I've been giving for 33 years, and the Lord has blessed me with a lot of energy and love. Because to me, I come from the school of Willie Velasquez, who I started under way back in 75, doing door-to-door voter registration, pregnant with my second son, Heraldo. And then I got active with the IAF organizations that hold elected officials accountable. I work with them and work with that organization. We would sit on the other side of elected officials, sometimes some that wouldn't be responsive at all. So that's been my promise, to work and represent people and listen and be a voice. I'm on the education committee. When you sit on these committees, now I remember the faces of the people I represent. On the education committee, I'm a voice for the children that can't be there, for the parents that can't be there, for the teachers that can't be there. That's important to me. And I want to continue serving in that way and making government accessible and workable for people, the people that pay for it. the people that pay for government, you know, when they call, they need to be listened to, and I try to do that. Now, I always tell people, I may not be able to help you, but we sure do try. Whatever issues that come in, we sure do try. And so that's what I have to offer, 33 years of experience. I taught school for 10 years. I went to law school when I was 35. 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a very good husband. And throughout the years, even when I was in law school, I've been active in community, active getting involved with issues, working with parents to make disciplinary schools better. That's another major issue that I've worked on, disciplinary schools, where I fought for so that the students will not be warehoused. If we're going to put them in a separate school, let's not warehouse them. That was the multitude of other issues that I've worked on with my colleagues. You know, in this business, you just don't do things by yourself. Good things, but you work with other people, with other colleagues on these issues that impact families. There's people that do good stuff on healthcare. I follow them. They follow me on education. That's what we do. There's no way you can get into every issue in Austin in terms of legislation, whatever, but you work together with other people to get something through. You work with community, you work with the leaders. And right now, I'm working on something that's, to me, really important, working with superintendents and junior college presidents and civic leaders, business leaders, church-based leaders, to form a peace through 16 council where we can really look at what's working and not working in our schools and make it better for every student. I'm a believer that every child that goes to school is somebody special. And every child that goes to school has the potential for greatness. And I'm not talking about just a few, I'm talking about every child, and I really believe that. And that's why I work so hard at this job. Because I'm a believer in humanity, I'm a person of hope. And I believe that if things change, they don't come from it. We work together to make that change. But I'm also a believer. I believe that we're here for a purpose. We have a purpose, and not all of us have a purpose. You know, and I want to do whatever I can to hopefully make life a little bit better for somebody else. Okay. And we can do that. We can do that.
All right. Representative Dora Olivo, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're quite welcome.